Well, good morning, everybody. Today, I want to welcome everybody, especially the guests that we might have with us. I know there are some, and we're happy that you're here. The story is told of a little kindergartner girl who was in Catholic school, and it was time for the kids to just like take about 10, 15 minutes to draw. Sometimes the kindergarten teacher would do this and draw whatever they wanted. So they're all drawn, and the teacher walks around, and she looks over Sally's shoulder, and she says, "Sally, what are you drawing there?" And she says, "Well, I'm drawing God." And the teacher says, "Well, honey, that's wonderful, but there's one problem, is that nobody knows what God looks like." And she says, "Well, hang on a minute, and I'll show you." Well, I think there's a beautiful thing about that. You know, like, there is a human desire to see God. And what we celebrate today, 40 days after Christmas, so every year it's February 2nd, it happily happens that February 2nd falls on a Sunday this year, so we get to celebrate it on a Sunday. But 40 days after Christmas, Mary and Joseph take the child Jesus and present him to the temple. It's much like baptism in a lot of different ways. But this was not Jesus' baptism, but he was being presented to the larger community. And everybody was ecstatic, of course. Here we hear about Simeon and Anna, both of whom had waited long time, their whole life. And Simeon is holding his child, Jesus, and he's like, "That's my life. Like, now you can let me go, God. You know, I'm an old man, you can let me die because I finally have accomplished my life's purpose, what I've waited for, what I have hoped for, what I have longed for and spoken about as a prophet. Like, now I hold God in my own arms and my life is fulfilled. Let me go in peace." And like, there's this beautiful like human desire, just like that kindergarten girl, right? Like, that we all want to see God. And today we remember that presentation when God was seen and manifested to the larger community. And here's the thing that I want us to think about. One little question. To whom and how are you presenting God? To whom are we presenting God and how are we doing it? It happened a few months ago. In fact, maybe it was last school year. It was before a mass, and I was kind of like over here, and I was praying before in the pew before going back for Mass, and the kids were coming in, and this one little girl tapped me on the shoulder, and I guess I don't know if I looked sad or what, but she said, "You know Jesus loves you." And I was like, oh, you know, like, she presented God to me at that moment. I was thinking of, I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl tonight. I don't have really a dog in that fight, but there's a Harrison Butker, maybe is his last name. I'm not totally sure. He's a kicker on the Chiefs team. And he was talking recently about how he came back to the church. And it was because he went to confession and his whole life changed. I thought, wow, here's this guy using his own sphere of influence. He's got a pretty big pulpit as a famous football player to talk about God and presenting God to the people. I was thinking about St. John Vianney, who's the patron saint of priests, who was kind of not the sharpest knife in the drawer, shall you say, and they stuck him out in the middle of nowhere so that he couldn't make much trouble there. And he ended up, in the course of 1 year, converting 800 people, presenting God to them. We all have this, like, we remember this presentation, but like, we all are supposed to have many presentations in our own life, according to our own station in life. A husband and a wife are to present God to each other and to their children. And kids are supposed to present God to their siblings and to their classmates and to their parents and to everybody they know. My job as a priest is to present God as best as I can to the larger community of faith here in Shelby County. But we're all meant to present God. And just like Moses, just like Mary and Joseph presented God, and he lit up their lives, which is why in a lot of places today, this Mass, everybody's got a candle. And maybe next year I'll remember to do it. But we all would have a candle because why? It's because Simeon says, this child is the light for all the Gentiles, which means nations, all the nations, this kid. And he will light up the world. And they presented him, and he did. He lit up the world. And he lit up their dark lives, and he lit up every bloody part of their life and everybody part of the world, corner of the world. And like, but when we present God to people, we can do the same thing. Today is a very special day. It's the last day of Catholic Schools Week. And our teachers will have a blessing for them at the end of after communion. But the teachers, in a very special way, have a vocation of presenting God to the children entrusted to their care. And they do a beautiful job. Our school is one of the most important ministries of this parish, and we're very grateful for it. And we do ask God's blessing upon it, you know? And why does it exist? Sister Loretto, she works in the mission office, and we went to the Indianapolis, the cathedral, the other day for Catholic Schools Mass with the Archbishop. Our fifth graders went. And afterwards, we had a little time with the Archbishop and with Sister Loretto and a few others. Sister Loretto said, the whole reason we have Catholic schools is this, to teach you children how to let Jesus live in you so that Jesus loves through you, so that Jesus works through you and acts through you, that you learn how to do all this in the course of your life. And she says that Jesus will pray through you. And she goes, she said the most beautiful thing I've heard in a long time. She said, even as I'm talking to you right now, I'm praying for you. That like Jesus lives and acts and loves and thinks and works and serves and prays through us. And when that happens, then we do, just by the fact of we're walking around, we present Jesus wherever we go, hopefully. The light of our Lord wherever we go, we present that. Our first reading was from Malachi. Malachi lived in a time after the temple had been destroyed, and then they rebuilt it, but the Holy of Holies was gone, the Ark of the Covenant. For 600 years, no Ark of the Covenant. It would be like us not having Jesus in the tabernacle for 600 years. And Jesus and Malachi was giving them hope that like one day there will be God back here. And I guess I'm just here to say is like you and I might be the only tabernacle that some people ever come to experience. And that whenever we're walking tabernacles, letting Jesus abide in us and live in us and all this, and like hopefully wherever we go, we present God there. We're not afraid to talk about him. I used to go to, and I when I was in Greenwood, I used to go to dinner once a month with this guy named Tom the Bomb. And what a great man. And he's probably about 95 by now. But he used to always, it was just he and I once a month on Saturday night after Mass. And he would always try to convert the waiter or the waitress. But he would always say, dear, are you Catholic? And a lot of times she'd say no, and he'd say, well, you ought to think about it. It's the best religion in the world. And like, but he wasn't afraid to talk about it. And not in an aggressive way, but in a loving way, you know? Like, each of us, we're meant to present Jesus wherever we go. And that does mean talking about him at our workplaces, in our schools, on our Instagrams, on our Facebooks, wherever we are, like, we ought to be presenting Jesus. And I tell you what, the world needs it. Let's ask God to help us do it well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.